Okay, welcome to the Africa Studies podcast. Here we are with Bihaki as our guest speaker. Bihaki is a good friend of mine, and we met while working for the Youth Leadership Organization in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, whereby we aim to develop leadership skills in youth across the globe. After this leadership year, Bihaki did an internship at GIZ in Arusha, and then he worked with Empower in Dar es Salaam. And now since mid-July, he is closer to the Netherlands, working in Bonn, Germany, for DHL as the Global Coordinator, Marketing and Employer Branding. So welcome, Bihaki. Could you tell us a bit more about yourself?
Sure. Thank you very much, Frika. It's much pleasure being here and recording this podcast with you. I'm super excited, especially with the topic as well. All right, my good name is Abdulkarim Bihaki. I really prefer to be called Bihaki. I feel it's very unique, and yeah, and also it's very Tanzanian origin. I'm 26 years old, and I've been born and raised in Tanzania. So I spent my whole life in Tanzania. I studied there from very kindergarten level to university, and then yeah, as Frika said, then I had a chance to work with different youth-run organizations. I had a chance to work with the corporates, work with company, but also I had a chance now to work with the development corporation, where I had the opportunity to see how someone can make an impact to a country or to the world itself by just their daily activities and action. And yeah, so I'm excited. Currently, I'm working in Germany with DHL. So I still had the opportunity to leverage my skills in building my own capacity, but also making the world a better place.
Wow. Beautiful, concise introduction. in this series of podcasts, we're actually exploring the topic of decolonization, and specifically also the manifestations of decolonization in our public space today, whether it be in Africa or in Europe. So I suggest we dive straight in from here. And maybe a good place to start is with the question, what does decolonization mean to you, Bihaki?
All right. Thank you very much. So I will share my perspective, because these are some of the stuff which we've learned while we were growing up, but also we witnessed some of the drastic changes which brought by colonization and then decolonization. And I wasn't there specifically in that period of time, but I can for sure share my thoughts of what happened, and also from literature, from what we've studied. I think we've been colonized by, we've been colonized by, in Tanzania, by Germany back then, and then by British until in 1961, where we gained our own independence. And since at that period of time, there's a series of significant political, social, and economic changes happened. And being in more details, we saw a leadership and political development where our first I would say one and only president, Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, who was a very prominent figure. He struggled for independence, and he became the first president of Tanzania. And he was the key advocate for, I would say, for the African socialism. And he was able to introduce different policies so that to ensure that the country itself is becoming strong economically, but also promote like rural development. And one among a very important area which he promoted, or one among the important policy, it was called Ujamaa, like the communalism. So basically the decolonization, I would say, was the reform after what the country went through, especially not only Tanzania, but what Africa went through during colonization, where it was much of the suffer, especially when it comes to resource exploitation of the country, but also people were not having, you know, like a fully leadership and political freedom to do different changes, like economic reforms or social economic development reforms in our own country.
So what exactly happened after the decolonization in Tanzania, would you say?
Yeah, so I would proudly say the first thing happened, as what I mentioned first, was the leadership and political development.
Yeah.
And here it's where we saw Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, who was the key advocate for African socialism, and he was able to introduce the Ujamaa policy. He became the first president of Tanzania.
Yeah, maybe for our listeners, sorry, Bihaki, just to cut you off there, but could you explain to our listeners what Ujamaa is?
All right, so Ujamaa was the policy which was emphasized like a communal living, like people to live together, you know, and to have like a collective bargaining, collective power, you know, in different socioeconomic activities. And by that time, the main activity was farming. So the president's vision by that time was how can he bring together everyone so that we can have that collective, you know, collective decision-making, collective power to do different activities, which Ujamaa, I would say, it was opposite from capitalism, whereby, you know, we have this class of people who they can be able to do, and while others are probably they are just buyers or something like that. But for Ujamaa, it's everyone needs to bring their efforts in building the country.
And do you still see the manifestations of that today, or?
Unfortunately, Ujamaa didn't last for that long back then, but it really had a huge impact, I would say, in our country back then, because that is one among the things which built, I would say, the one Tanzanian community. At the end of the day, people, we were able to speak one language, which was our own language, Swahili, because of the Ujamaa, because we were brought all of us together. But also, you know, bringing the Ujamaa also was able to break down the, you know, the social barriers, I would say. We had a lot of tribes in Tanzania. Until right now, we have a lot of tribes, but because of Ujamaa, no one was, you know, even in leadership or I would say in economic activities, we put it aside our tribes. We were focusing in building one country, like one Tanzania. So everyone will go to school. Everyone will be involved in agricultural activities. Everyone will be equal, you know, and we were fighting ignorance and, you know, poverty. And that was our focus. And so it is until right now. It has a very huge impact.
Yeah, and I think that's also the legacy that Nyerere really has left behind, for sure.
Yes.
Okay, now I actually want to take it also to the other side. So obviously these are the effects that you've seen in Tanzania, but now you are currently since a couple of months in Germany, and now you've spent some time there. Do you notice any effects in Germany or in Bonn of the decolonization?
Yeah, I would say there has been a very huge effect of decolonization. And one among the things I would say, it's a shift in the global influence.
Yeah.
So the decolonization led to shift in the global power, I would say. And as you can see, the European colonial powers, they lose their empires, of course. And it marked the era of, you know, European dominance in the international affairs in our African countries. So right now we have the, you know, the influence to make most of the change. But also, you know, it's at some point I would say it also built the economic ties. Including, I would say, example for Germany, it already maintained the economic ties with Tanzania, and until right now, you know, we have a very, I would say, we have a very strong bilateral collaboration between these two countries, and which it has been great. And I witnessed this when I was working with German Development Corporation, GIZ, where it's still, we see there's a channel of, I would say, with the technical support and financial support to most of our development programs. And I would say something else, like, again, it's international relationships. We see between Africa and most of the continents, like Europe and other countries, like the formation of United Nations, all of this, they came because all of this, they became, you know, after the decolonization started taking place in the world now, let's form one big community or one big institution which can overlook on the, you know, countries, can influence different, you know, political and economical, I would say, political and economic stuff in our countries.
Yeah.
So that's also one among the influence. But I would say also one among the negative as well, I would say impact, which it does still being constrained as well.
Yeah.
Still shifting the global influence from like the colonized, I would say the countries which were colonized. Now we had the power, but still at some point we already feel like there's still European dominance in these countries.
Yeah.
So still, despite of decolonization, but still we have neo-colonialism right now, and we are witnessing it until today. Most of the, I would say, especially European countries still, they are looking forward to like different interests in some countries of Africa, and yeah, which it's at some point it's building strong economic ties, but at some point still it brings a lot of I would say challenges. We've been witness what is happening between France and Mali, I would say,
yeah,
and most of other countries as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And for what you're saying, could you maybe give also a specific example? Because I know you also worked for GIZ in Arusha, and now you're also in Germany. So you're saying, yeah, those ties are strengthening. But yeah, could you maybe also explain a little bit more as what you're saying before, like what the downside is?
Yeah. So for the downside, for my, I mean, I don't have a very specific example when it's come to the downside between the decolonization, especially for Tanzania,
yeah,
specifically, because from what I've seen, most of the downside they are coming via, you know, the political aspect,
mm-hmm,
especially when the country want to make different political decisions, you'll find that there's always the influence from the Western side.
Yeah.
And this, like, they are just different examples from, you know, from other countries, especially like in West Africa, as what I said, we've witnessed just recently the conflict which is ongoing between France and Mali and other countries.
Exactly.
I would say in Africa. But, you know, I would say in Tanzania, I mean, I can share the economic, I would say the economic impact which I've witnessed while working with GIZ in the South African community, because we see this international cooperation. They're trying to see how they can bring the same impact which is happening, especially, example, in European Union, you know, people that can move, the European people can move like within the European area,
yeah,
excluding, I would say, excluding British.
Yeah,
but people that can move around, you know, and we want to do the same to East Africa, where Kenya, Tanzania, like we don't see borders, we move around, we do business.
Exactly.
So like those kind of programs, those kind of projects, I've been witnessing the benchmark of creation.
Yeah.
Where mm-hmm, like this country, like Germany, they're trying to bring this conversation and share their good case practice on how we can bring together these countries and, you know, and have free border movement, you know,
mm-hmm,
introducing different digitalization and technological advancement in order to influence this kind of change.
Okay. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of content there, a lot of food for thought, for sure.
Yeah.
Our podcast is slowly wrapping off to an end here, but are there any final thoughts you have on decolonization and like I said, the manifestation in the public space?
I would say one among the things which I at some point I feel they might be holding back, as what I say, the economic challenges. You know, mm-hmm, most of our independent countries, including Tanzania, still face a lot of issues, including the inherited, the colonial infrastructures we are still inheriting, but also the debts which they've been incurred through that period of time of, you know, decolonization, where the country trying to build itself.
Yeah.
Until this point where the countries had to, you know, to collect a lot of debts, to borrow a lot of money from this institution and these countries. And you find these are the things which are still holding us back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these countries, they're still coming and utilizing the resources, you know, because those were the terms of when we were borrowing those kind of money, you know, to build our own country.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
you find, like instead of our countries moving forward from the resources we have, we still enter into the trap of borrowing money, you know, seeking for grants and those kind of things, and we are not fully able to utilize our own resources, and still we are into the trap of different, you know, terms and conditions of these debts, which is the challenge.
But yeah.
Still, we are remaining positive.
No, and maybe like us, maybe to add on there, also because I grew up in Tanzania, and what I've also noticed is there is a mindset shift happening. You know, there's a lot of Tanzanian youth coming up now and taking a different approach. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's people like us who now we are growing up, we are seeing the changes, we are seeing the reality, and we are looking forward to make the change.
Wow, that's a beautiful way to end, I think.
Yeah.
Beautiful last sentence. So, yeah, no, Bihaki, I really want to thank you for your time. And obviously, this is a very short exploratory podcast, so we're just touching upon, I would say, the surface of even the topic of decolonization, but it's definitely been very interesting to hear from a local Tanzanian who is now also working in Germany, so that we get both perspectives. So thank you very much for your time, and we hope to see you in some of our future podcasts.
Sure, thank you very much, Frika, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.